Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you will bless your people who are hearing your word, that you will bless the person who is preaching the word. And Father, we thank you that as we hear your word, let us be reminded how faithful you are in giving us your word, the heavenly manna. Without your word, we'll truly starve. And we simply have to die. But Father, you are so faithful in giving us your word so that we may eat the heavenly manna and be healthy spiritually, so that we may live that glorious life of heaven that your Son has accomplished for us. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the revelation that Jesus himself gives, and it is the revelation that is about Jesus Christ. We finished, I believe, up to verse 3 last Lord's Day. Let me just remind you what verse 3 says before we go on to verse 4. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Not just who reads the word, not just who hears the word, but also who obeys what it says. Let us never forget that. We must obey God. It is not an option. We must obey. Now we have said that chapter 1, verse 1 through 8 is the introduction to this book. And now from verse 4 through verse 8 of the introduction section can be divided into three subsections. So from verse 4 through 8, we are going to divide that section into three subsections. And reason why we do this is so that you will understand clearly what is being said. It helps us to see clearly what God is saying if we do this kind of stuff. So, from verse 4 and verse 5a, when I say a, it means the first half of that verse. So, verse 4 through 5a, we'll name it salutation. And verse 5b through verse 6, praise. And verse 7 and 8 is the short summary of the book of Revelation. Or you could call it the theme of the book of Revelation. And that summary or theme is that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That is the message. Jesus is coming back. Now today and the next Lord's Day, let us look at the salutation, verses 4 and 5a. It will take us two Lord's Days to look at those verses. Well, if you look at from verse 4, you will see the same structure as the salutation and praise of the Apostle Paul's letters. We study one of his letters, right? Ephesians, every Friday. And there, I will read to you the first two verses of the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there in Ephesians, we have already looked at this, that salutation can be divided into four things. From that salutation, we learn who is the sender. And we also learn who is the recipient of that letter. And the blessing that is sent to the recipients. And we learn who is sending that blessing. Now the same thing is found here in the book of Revelation. As you know, as we read verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So here, we know the sender, John, and the recipients, the seven churches that are in Asia. And the blessing that is sent to them is grace and peace. And the sender of that blessing is none other than the triune God. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. The sender is John, the apostle John, not John the Baptist, but John who wrote the book of John. But you and I know that the ultimate sender is God himself. As we have seen last Lord's Day, God is using John to write his own words, God's word. The recipients here, they are the seven churches in Asia. In, I guess, the territory today is referred to Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. But as you have already noticed by now, there were more than seven churches at the time of writing this book, like churches in Philippi and Thessalonica. They are not mentioned in these seven churches. What is going on? As we have seen briefly last time, the number seven represents the completeness. So seven churches encompass all the churches. Thus the book of Revelation, the letter is sent to all the churches in all ages, which means you are included. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Word of God is written for all the churches in all ages. God wrote this for you. And the circumstances of these seven churches in the book of Revelation, as we read what is going on in those churches, those circumstances are the circumstances that all the churches in all ages face. So you are able to identify yourselves with the things that it is written about these seven churches, because it is addressing God's churches or God's church. It is sent to the churches, meaning it is sent to God's covenant people. The book of Revelation is not written for unbelievers, but it is written for believers. These letters are sent to God's covenant people. Thus, the blessing that is sent to God's covenant people also. Grace and peace is only to God's covenant people, because grace and peace is not for unbelievers, because only non-believers receive from God is His judgment. But if He is chosen, then this grace and peace will be the blessing that God sends to them. Now when we look at Paul's letter, the blessing, grace and peace are from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we see whenever you read Paul's letters. The blessings, grace and peace are from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in Book of Revelation, we see all three persons in the Godhead. The Father and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from the triune God. Grace and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, the Father. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at this in more detail later. And verse 5a, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So if you divide those two verses in that way, it becomes much more clear what is written here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the word Trinity, does not appear in the Bible, but the doctrine of Trinity is clearly taught by the Bible. Anyone or any church that denies the doctrine of Trinity is heretical. Period. There's no discussion. If they deny Trinity, then we cannot accept that church as God's church. Yeah, many other doctrines we are able to discuss. But if they deny Trinity, it stops right there. We just have to let them know what the Bible teaches. If they refuse to accept, then we do not have the Christian fellowship with that church. God is one. This one God exists in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God. And these three persons are of the same substance, and these three persons are equal in power and glory. The Father is the eternal Creator God. The Son is the eternal Creator God. And the Holy Spirit is the eternal Creator God. But in accomplishing redemption, these three persons, they took different roles. That is why we see Jesus Christ in the Bible obeying the Father, but we don't see Father obeying the Son. Not because the Son is lower than the Father, but in redemption, in accomplishing redemption, they voluntarily took different roles. The Father, role of planning, the Son, role of accomplishing, and the Holy Spirit, the role of applying what Jesus has accomplished to the church. It's different roles, and that's how we have to look at the relationship between husband and wife. You know, we went to a wedding yesterday, and I preached there that wives must obey their husbands, not because they're inferior, but it's different roles that God gives to a husband and to a wife. See, when we see that Jesus Christ obeys the Father, we do not say He is lower than the Father. Just like when we see wife obeying the husband, we do not say wife is lower than the husband. It's until you get to heaven. And this different roles that our God has taken, that is in accomplishing redemption. Not as who they are, you know, not as God, who He is eternally there. All three are equal in power and glory. So, husband and wife, they're equal. Equal in power and glory. But you guys have different roles as you live your life here. But in heaven, there is no difference. There is no difference between male and female in heaven. We're all God's sons. Or according to some Old Testament passage, we're all God's daughters. Both are biblical. Well, remember, Jesus Christ is not created God. Some people believe that. Because a created God cannot save us. A finite God cannot save us. Well, now, from these two verses then, let us look at what the Bible says about the Father and the Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we only have time to look at the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. We will look at Him next Lord's Day. As we look at these verses, we learn of our God and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. God reveals who He is and what He has done. Him who is and who was and who is to come. God the Father is Him who is, or He who is. This is similar to what we have seen in Exodus chapter 3. Moses meets God at the burning bush. And Moses there asks for the name of God, and God answers him, I am who I am. Or, I am that I am. This name points to the sovereignty of God. It shows who and how is God. He does not need anyone. He does not need anything. He does not need any help from anyone. He does what he does according to his pleasing will. Exodus 33 verse 19, I, God says, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. God works all things according to the counsel of his own unchangeable and most righteous will for his own glory. Psalm 22 verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over all the nations. Our God the Father is above all kings and above all rulers. Psalm 47 verse 7, the king of all the earth, he is God. All history and all nations are in his hands. He controls all things according to his will. Psalm 115 verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10 says, see, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Acts chapter 17 verse 24 through 26. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 21, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet none, not one of them, will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Yeah, every time we shower, do you know how many hair you lose? It's all numbered. God counts even your hairs. Nothing happens apart from him. Oh yes, our God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. This simple fact will really help you if you really understand it. I think a lot of fear and worry comes because you do not believe who he is. Who is your God? How is he? Can he not control your life? He doesn't have that power to do so. O All these verses that we saw, and especially the verse that we're reading in Revelation, show that if our God is truly all-powerful and all-sovereign God, then we're able to completely trust Him. Because our God is Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His, God's purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. And Revelation 19 verse 6b says, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. He governs. He's in control. Because He is Him who is and who was and who is to come. He is the creator and the consummator of all things. Him who is and who was and who is to come. He is sovereign over all history. Who is, who was, who is to come. The past, the present, the future. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the eternal God. Him who is to come. It does not say Him who is and who was and who will be. It doesn't say that, but Him who is to come. Because He is the ruler of all history. I want you to remember that the history has a purpose. Whatever happens, it happens for that purpose. And it is the purpose of God. Our God is God who is to come. Our God is the future. He is in control. He is in charge. The future is not determined by chance or by the people with money and power. It is history. His story. It is God's story. That is what history is. History is the history of God. It is according to His own plan. If this is our God, then we are able to completely trust Him, completely believe in Him. Our God is Him who is and who was and who is to come. He is Almighty. He is the beginning and the end. Nothing, not even Satan himself, can thwart God's plan. And God is in control of your life. You must believe this, brothers and sisters. It sounds very clear and simple, and yet we have so much difficulty believing this in our lives. Job 42 verse 2 says, I know that you, God, can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. This is also our confession. And this God gives you grace and peace. And this God is coming. He's coming back. We move on to next phrase. Grace and peace, not only from Him who is and who was and who is to come, but and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. From seven spirits who are before his throne. Now some believe that the seven spirits here are angels. But nowhere in the Bible teaches that grace and peace come from angels. Angels cannot send grace and peace. Only God is able to give grace and peace. Angels can bring to you the blessings from God, but they are not the giver of that blessing. Thus, if I just state the conclusion first, we see seven spirits here as the Holy Spirit. In chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, let me just read that to you. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book that you, what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, and to the Thyatira, and to Sardis, and the Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Here we see our triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead. And there, our Lord Jesus Christ is standing in the middle of the lampstands, seven golden lampstands. And according to chapter 1, verse 20b, if you go there, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So if you are seeing Jesus Christ in the middle of seven lampstands, but these seven lampstands are seven churches, so what are you looking at? You're looking at Jesus Christ in the middle or with his church. Seven churches. But seven churches is his one church. Jesus doesn't have seven different churches. He has one church. And yet, emphasizing that completeness, the number seven is used. So when we see our Lord in the middle of the lampstands, we are seeing him in the midst of his churches. He is with his church. Boy, just seeing that is good enough for me. He's with you. Even now, he's with you. Resurrected Lord is with you, with his church. Well, we'll look at that more when we get to that section, get to those verses. Now, as we have already noted, the number seven is a symbolical number. It points to the completeness or the perfectness. Even though we see seven churches, we know that there is only one church. And seeing Jesus with those seven churches, we are not to think that he is with only those seven churches. No, symbolism is that he is with his church. The seven churches that are named. You are not to think that Jesus is only with those seven churches that are named here. No, those seven churches are representative of the whole church. So symbolism is that he is with his church. And if you go to chapter 4, verse 5b, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now this verse reminds us of Zechariah chapter 4, where we see the lampstand which symbolizes both Jesus Christ and his church. There in Zechariah chapter 4, we see that the lamp is burning with golden oil. And as you know, oil in the Old Testament points to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent by both the Father and the Son to the church. Thus, the church is lit up and able to shine the glory of God. In Zechariah, that lampstand, which points to Jesus Christ and the church, there's a golden oil that was feeding to the lamp, and lamp is lit up, and it shines. And it's a picture of what happened to the church. When you read Acts chapter 2, this golden oil comes to the church. So the church is lit up, and it shines the glory of God now and forever. That is what we see in Acts chapter 2. But that has also happened to you. The golden oil has come upon you. So now you are lit up. And you shine the glory of God. Yeah, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit comes upon the 120 people who are gathered there, the golden oil is given to the church, the lampstand. And the church is lit up, and the light will shine and shine, and forever it will shine, and that light will never, never go off. The light that shines through you, light that shines through His church, will never go off. Now then, the seven spirits are the Holy Spirit, who is sent by the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to His church. The seven spirits are the one Holy Spirit who is sent to the seven churches, which are Christ's one church. Thus, the phrase that we are looking at is the Holy Spirit who is sent to God's church. According to chapter 3, verse 1, the seven spirits are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to chapter 1, verse 13, He is in the middle of the lampstands. He is with His church through the Holy Spirit He sent to His church. Do you understand? Lamp, stand, and it is lit up. Can you just picture the lamp and the light? And Jesus is in the middle of those lampstands. What are we seeing? Jesus is with His church through the Spirit that He sent. And that is your present spiritual reality. Right now, that is your reality. Jesus is with you. And He's with you through His Spirit. And He shines the glory of heaven, glory of God, in you and in His church. He sends the Holy Spirit to you and to me, His church, in John chapter 20, verse 22, as He breathed on His disciples, He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." A preview of Acts chapter 2. He is the source of the glory and light that the church shines. The Holy Spirit is the golden oil. If we look at each individual, you are the light of the world. Each one of you is the lampstand of God. Each one of you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the golden oil in you, and it will never dry up. Forever. Never dry up. Thus you shine the glory of God even now, and you will shine the glory of God forever and ever. Understand, brothers and sisters, what kind of life you live. Do you understand that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? That you are filled with the glory of God? That when you walk in this world, that you are the glory of God walking? That everywhere you go, you take that glory with you. You shine His glory. Whether the world sees it or not, you shine. The tragedy is that Christians don't see themselves as this lampstand shining God's glory. Acts chapter 2 happened to you. That is your story. And that's what we see, these seven spirits who are before His throne. And these seven spirits in chapter 4, we see the seven spirits are with the lampstand. Just like Jesus Christ is with the lampstands. You as the lamp of God has been lit up ever since the Holy Spirit came to you. And that light, that glory will never go off. It will shine forever and ever. God is with you. He sends you grace and peace. The Holy Spirit made grace and peace yours to possess and enjoy now and forever. And brothers and sisters, I want you to see this glorious reality, your heavenly reality. Your God is sovereign God, and that God is with you. And He sends grace and peace to you. And we'll look at those grace and peace, what it means next time. Now we will look at our Lord Jesus Christ next Lord's Day. But brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, be completely satisfied with God and Him alone. All is according to His will. Everything is according to His plan. Brothers and sisters, do not worry. Don't worry. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of this world. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has already overcome it. And remember, brothers and sisters, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Enjoy Him. He is with you. Him who is and who was and who is to come is with you. And seven spirits are with you. And Lord Jesus Christ is with you. You cannot be severed from Him, our God. You cannot be separated from our God anymore. And as we begin to look at this book, I want you to see this glorious sight, how God is with you, how we are with Him. And He is Him who is and who was and who is to come. Trust Him. Believe Him. And with everything you have, love Him. You are the recipients of grace and peace.
of God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are Almighty God, Sovereign God. That you control everything, you govern everything, you reign over all the earth. Let us more and more trust you. Let us entrust ourselves to you. Let us enjoy your presence with us. Oh Father, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.